We're going to give you plenty of time. John 15. All right. I still hear pages turning. Everybody, and some of those are pages are mine. All right. We're going to start in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay? Now, in that phrase, you'll be my disciples. Showing yourselves to be my disciples is why we triggered it. It's why we caught on to the thought, if I want to be a disciple, if that's why we're here, is to be disciples of Jesus. We're not here just to go to church. We're not here just to eat donuts. We're not here just to have fellowship. We're here to show ourselves disciples. Now, to do that, I've got to obey the word, I've got to love the body, and I've got to save the lost. Now, I was the one that put the phrase save the lost there. So you don't have to buy into that, but let me tell you why I thought that, okay? In the whole discussion of the vine and the branches, Jesus is using an illustration that comes from where? How far back? How far back in the Bible? How far back in history? How far back in the world did Jesus go back to that? Get that illustration of the vine and the branches?
The beginning.
The very beginning. He said, God put a law in order. God put a law in place that trees would bring forth fruit after bearing seed after, do you remember that phrase? After their kind. Makes sense, doesn't it? That an apple tree would bring forth apples. But not just apples. Inside that apple is what? The seeds that are potential apple trees to produce more apples, to produce more apple trees. Now, maybe that's too simple, and I'll let those of you who are spiritual giants, and I'll let those of you who are theological geniuses fuss about that. I'm not going to. I want to be a disciple of Jesus, and Jesus says, I want you to show you're my disciple by bearing much fruit. Here's what I think Jesus is telling us. I want you to help people become what you are. If an apple tree produces apples, what would a Christian do? Produce Christians, right? Now, how do I help somebody become what I am? Now, hang on a second. Do I mean with all my weaknesses what I am? No. I'm not wanting anybody to come like me like that. I want people to become like me in what way? I'm sorry?
The way Jesus
wants me to be? Why do I want people... I need to ask it better, a better way to ask it. When Jesus says, I want you to bear much fruit, and so an apple produces apples, and a Christian produces Christians, and I'm saying I want people to become as I am, what am I saying? What am I trying to say? What am I trying to... Does it make any sense first?
I think maybe that it's trying to live as Jesus did, so kind of like living by example so that you can get some scripture.
Excellent. I want people, if I'm trying to live like Jesus, if I'm trying to be a disciple, did Jesus ever say, and Darla nailed it, did Jesus ever say that he wants us to make disciples? Yes. So I'm a disciple of Jesus. I'm trying to walk like Jesus. What does he want me to do? I want to put it in our words. He wants us to invite people to walk with us as we follow Jesus. Right? Now, the Apostle Paul, and there's no need to turn. This is for, if you want to do it later, there's a statement in Acts chapter 26 I've loved a long, long time. Paul is standing in front of some people. We're going to study it in a couple of Wednesdays. That's why I don't want us to dig into it today. But he's going to stand in front of some people who are have the power to set him free or to put him to death. And he says to them, he starts teaching them about Jesus, and that fellow responds and said, "Would you with just these few words try to get me to become a Christian?" And Paul said, "I don't, whether there's many or with few, I just wish that you were, except for these chains, what I am." What am I? Serious. What am I? I'm a disciple of Jesus. What am I? Keep going. Christian, what am I? Think.
I'm a follower of Jesus.
I'm a follower of Jesus. What am I? I'm a child of God. Now, and you're thinking about yourself. I'm saying it, I am. You don't have to be looking at me. You could be talking about yourself. But I didn't want to say, what am you? What you am. What am I? A Christian. I am a child of God, I heard. An apprentice of Jesus. What am I?
I'm good, precious, and wonderful.
I am good, wonderful, and precious. Psalm 139 says so. I am. Who? We got a long ways to go, folks. Even that first group that's way behind you guys, they were quicker than this, right? Y'all had too many donuts. What am I? Josh, you said it. Repeat it. I'm a sinner, but I am a sinner who has been saved. I am a sinner who has been forgiven. I am a sinner who's had my sins washed away. I am a sinner who is living. A new life. Now, all of those things are true. Now, why wouldn't anybody want that? Right? Now, those of us who grew up going to church almost have... We've almost gotten made ourselves sick in our stomachs because we've made it sound like if you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus, if you're going to talk to somebody about church, if you're going to talk to somebody about God, it's almost like it's got to be a fight. It's got to be some kind of battle. You're going to offend them, or they're going to get mad, or they're going to reject you. We got all of that inside us. But if you think about it, what if I could invite you to have a new life? What if I could invite you to be a child of God? What if I could invite you to have your sins forgiven? What if I could invite you to be going to heaven with me? What would you think about that deal? Wouldn't that be a good deal? That's really what bearing fruit is all about. Is us being, listen to my words, it's us being and us doing what Jesus wants us to be and to do so people will follow us as we follow Jesus, right? Now think about it. Is that a bad thing?
No.
Is that a bad thing at all?
No.
I want to invite you. I mean, somebody. Who invited you to the lasagna, Esther?
Francis.
Francis did. Francis invited Esther. Francis said, "Esther, you want to come? We're going to have lasagna." And so Esther came to eat lasagna. Now, did she find anything else when she got here? Did she find anything else when she got here?
Yes.
Yes. She found Jesus. She found the Word of God. It changed her heart and saved her soul. Her sins are forgiven. She's a child of God. Now, folks, if you could get lasagna and heaven, what about that deal, right? But what would it do? What would happen to us, folks? What would happen to us if we started seeing, inviting people to church that way? I don't have to be afraid of anybody. I don't have to be nervous about how they're going to react. I don't have to be upset if they're going to reject me. No, I'm just going to invite them for lasagna or sandwiches or fried chicken or donuts or whatever it is you want to feed them. But you're inviting them to have sins forgiven. You're inviting them to have their souls saved. You're inviting them so they can go to heaven. That's a good thing, right? Jesus says to bear much fruit. That's how you show you're my disciple. So those of us who said we want to be disciples know that we've got to get serious. I mean serious about our Bible study. We've got to get serious about getting in that Word and letting that Word change us. We can't just hear it. We've got to do it. And we've got to be serious about loving the body. We've got to be serious about loving each other. It's not just standing up here and saying, I just love everybody. No, it's about really being patient and kind and not being jealous or boastful. It's not about being rude or irritable. It's about really loving each other. But then we also got to bear much fruit. And to do that, we've got to be and to do what Jesus wants us to be and do. All right. Now, how do you do that? Let me flip the question around, make it easier. What did you do that took you from being a sinner that was condemned by your sins? What did you do to come from being that sinner condemned by God to being that sinner now saved by God? What did you do?
You started having faith.
In fact, it's where it starts, isn't it? I'm going to write another word up here, but it's the same idea. You, before you could become a sinner saved, before you could become a sinner that became a child of God, before that can happen, you must believe. Now, does anybody know where it says that you've got to believe? It says it in the Bible. Yes, it does. In Mark 16, verse 16, and you don't have to turn there. You just put this down for your notes later. In Mark 16, 16, he says, if you do not believe, you will be condemned. Now, we live in a religious world right now that does not want to admit that, but the truth is, if you don't believe, you will be condemned. Okay, so do you get a lot of traction with your friends using that? You better believe or you're going to be condemned. You better believe or you're going to be condemned. You better believe or you're going to be condemned. Now, honest, I grew up seeing that that was the way we were supposed to approach it. If you don't believe, you're going to be condemned. What did you do to become a Christian? You believed. What was it that caused you to believe? Now, folks, I'm not asking for Bible verses right now. I'm asking for your own experience. What was it that caused you to believe in Jesus? What caused you to believe in the Word of God? What caused you to believe that led you to obey?
What's time? Because I've done it many times, but 30 days ago, it was the fact that I lost my job. I was about to lose my family, my kids. And I told them I was on my way to go get my other job, which still promised to me sure that Josh was time. And as soon as she said that, I already knew, and you know, both worked for her. And she said, Josh, you left us in worse positions. Go ahead and go. And I waited. I saw everything around me, and that's what started making me believe more than what I did.
Okay, now what Josh is talking about is another word that we're going to use, so I'm going to hang on to that. What was it that caused you to believe?
I don't even remember not believing.
Okay.
Because it started as a little kid.
What started when you were a little kid?
Going to church and hearing my family, my dad.
All right, mom and dad taught you. What else? What caused you to believe? And you have different responses, Darla.
For me, it was because I had hit bottom so far, I didn't want to live anymore, and I had things placed into my life so that I was able to get clean and sober, and it's just been a process. It hasn't, but I'll be honest, if somebody at that time in my life had come up to me and said, you will believe or you will be condemned, I probably would have waved using one finger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'd have let them know what you thought about that situation, right? Now, folks, and I appreciate that honesty. Folks, did you hear? Sometimes it's from people when some of us grew up in homes where mom and dad taught us the Bible and it caused us to believe. Others of us had to hit bottom and that's what caused us to look up. That's what caused us to wonder, oh man, I need something. So you started to look. There is a verse that some of you know and others of you don't, but I'm going to start it. You'll finish it. Faith comes by, one more time, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you want somebody you know, do you want somebody that you love to believe in Jesus? Romans 10:17 says they're going to have to be taught something about the Word of God. Now we're going to come back to that in a minute. But if a person to become what I am has to believe, then it would make sense to me that if Jesus wants me to help people become what I am, I'm going to help them believe. All right. Now what Josh is talking about, and I think it's what Darla is talking about, is another Bible word, but it's a word that we don't use much in our culture, in the English language, in American culture. We don't use the word repent very often. And the reason we don't use it very often? Because we don't want to. We don't want to admit that there's anything wrong with us, so we don't want to change anything, right? But the word repent actually means to change your mind, to change your mind that will cause you to turn around and go a different way. It's to change your mind about some things, right? And if you start to believe in Jesus, you will change your mind about Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you will change your mind about those things in your life that don't fit with Jesus. Now, honest, I grew up going to church and I used to hear it all the time. You need to repent. What does that mean? And as a result, I would turn around and try and pass that on to somebody else. You need to repent. I even threw things at people to get them to repent. I've seen workbooks, little pamphlets that churches pass out where we'd say, you've got to repent, and list 700 verses that say repent. Let me ask you, does the word repent cause you to repent? No, in fact, most of the time, people don't know what you're talking about. So you say to them, repent, 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 repent. And they don't, who, what, why, or wave at them, right? You know, because you don't like that.
I know what repent means. But do you have to go before the body repents?
Where does, now hang on, the question was, and the preface was, I know what the word repent means. But do I have to go in front of the church to repent? Now hang on a second. If you know what the word means, what does the word repent mean? To change your mind. Do I have to go in front of anybody to change my mind? Nope, it's in my mind.
But if you're told
right?
To, what if you're told to?
Well, they're lying to you is what they're doing. Because you can change your mind by doing what? We're going to get way deep here in a hurry. And it's going to throw me off. You know how you change your mind? Okay. And you just change your mind. That's what this means. Now, does it mean change your life real quick? Does it mean change your life?
No.
I got a yes and a no. Does it mean change your life?
Yes.
Nope. Definition of repent is change your mind. If you continue to repent, will it change your life?
Yes.
Yes. But you know why you can't say repent means change your life? Because then there would never be a point at which you could say that you had repented. Because how long are you going to need to change your life?
Forever.
Forever and ever, right? So you get change your mind, which allows you then to change your life. Will repenting lead to a change in your life?
Yes.
Yes. But repent means? To turn, to change your mind, to change your will and say, I'm going to do things different. I'm going to believe things different. I'm going to try things different. Repent. Now, how do we get that done? We yell at people. If you yell at them loud enough, they will repent. I told you the story already. Little boy came up to me and he said he wanted to be baptized. And I asked him, I said, son, have you ever repented? And he looked at me and said, I don't think my mom will let me. Nobody knows what the word means. So why are we telling people to repent? But we've got to, they have got to repent if they're going to become what I am.
Didn't change, and then people say, "Well, they didn't really repent in the first place." Or you do that yourself.
The same people that do that are the same people that lead the song. Did you repent? Fully repent of your past sins, friend? Or was there a doubt, treacherous doubt, lingering nigh? You know what the point of that song is? To convince you that you've not done everything you can do to get close to God. Now, when you repent, are you going to have to follow up? Yep. How many times do you have to change your mind after you change your mind? Yep. How many times do you have to work on another list of things when you've changed your mind? Yeah. Changing your mind is an act of will. Repentance is an act of will. Act of will lead to a change in life. But name the person that ever repented. And using this definition that was used back here, that their life never again needed to repent. Name the person. Nope, because Jesus never had to repent. So name the person that ever changed their mind and then lived their life without having to repent. Nobody. Impossible. You will struggle with sin the rest of your life. And guess what you'll have to do every day of your life? You got to keep changing your mind. Does that make sense? All right. Now, y'all got to stop this stuff. Y'all are too good of students. All right. The point is, if I want people to become what I am, are they going to have to repent? But how do I get them to do that is the point. Because I've got friends, I want them to believe. I want my friends to repent. So what am I going to do? I'm going to yell at them. Right? No. I'm not going to yell at them. In fact, Josh and Darla both said it. They both said it a minute ago when they said, "I hit bottom," or "I saw how bad things were." When you see how bad the things you've done, the consequences of your mess, it will cause you to repent. But there's something else that'll cause it. And I'm going to show you that in a second. Keep going. We've got to get one more. For you to become what I am, for my best friend to become what I am, what's got to take place? He has got to believe in Jesus, yes, and he's got to repent of his sins, yes, but what else has to take place? He has to be born again. He has to be born into the family of God. He's got to have his sins washed away. He's got to become a new creature. He's got to, all those things you said a minute ago. He has got to be baptized. Now, how do I get that done? Yell at them. That always works, right? Yell at them. Be baptized. Now, there are people sitting in this room that have never been taught this. You know, what you just heard? I've never heard that taught. There are people sitting in this room that have never heard this thought. And they're processing it right now saying, "Man, is that right? Did I hear that correctly?" Let me show you right quick before we move on. I want to show you a couple of verses. Where are you? In the Gospel of John, right? Turn one page over. Turn one page over to the book of Acts. B-A-P-T-I-Z-E-D.
I thought it was with an S. I was like, did he spell it right?
And you're not using today? Good man. Well, you got to ask sometimes, don't you? We're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to it.
Well, haven't you ever felt like you were the only one right out of 1,000 people?
Nope. Not in this group, that's for sure.
Josh feels all right. That way every day.
Every day, all right. Look, all right. Are you in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 2, I want you to look in Acts chapter 2. And I want you to look in verse 37. I want you to look in Acts 2, verse 37. There are some people that ask a direct question. They ask, what shall we do? They have figured out they've messed up. They have messed up big time. They killed the Son of God. They crucified the Lord. And they want to know, what shall we do? Look in Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. And tell me, what does God command them to do so that their sins will be forgiven? Repent and be baptized. Now why? For the forgiveness of your sins. I didn't write that. I didn't write that. I don't get a royalty off of it. Nobody gives me 10 cents a person that gets baptized. It's just what Jesus said, folks. And I mean, and if you have been taught a certain way, you say, well, I don't believe that. You're not fussing with me. I promise you, there won't be a fuss. There won't be a trouble with me and you. You're fussing with Jesus because Jesus is the one that said this. All right? Now, because of our time situation, I'm going to leave it just at that. There are others. And if you've got a question in this regard, please holler at me. Please, 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 please grab me after we're through. And we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. And it won't be what I think. And it won't be about what the church thinks. It'll be what Jesus says. Because didn't we decide we were going to be disciples? Isn't it what we said we were going to be disciples and we were going to follow Jesus and whatever He says goes? Yes, there you go. Thank you, dear. All right. So if I know for me to bear fruit, my friend has got to become what I am. If this is what I did to become what I am, then I've got to help my friend get there. Did Jesus ever give us any instructions as to how to do that? If He didn't, we could just try different methods. But I want you to look in the Gospel of John, back up from Acts. Look in John. Look in John chapter 20. Look at the very end of John chapter 20. The very end of John chapter 20. Read it. Read it to yourself. And then you tell me. You tell me. What is it that's been written down so that you and I could discuss it, talk about it, teach it, share it with somebody so that they would start to believe? I heard it once. Keep telling me. What's the answer?
Jesus the Messiah.
Wrong verse.
Well, you said the very end of 20.
Yeah, look.
Not the very end of 20.
Yeah, 30 and 31.
He performed many signs.
Which are recorded in this book, but these are written, why?
That you may believe.
That you may believe. So if I want my friend to believe, what do I need to do?
Tell him about Jesus. Teach him about Jesus.
What about Jesus? Look at. Look in the verse. Did Jesus get... He teaches us this. It's to talk about His miracles. And folks, those of us who grew up going to church, we didn't do this. I promise you. There are people sitting in this room who grew up going to church that were told, you got to go out there and teach the lost. You got to go out there and save the lost. You got to go out there and preach the gospel to every living creature. And I'm all for every one of those verses I just quoted. But we were not taught to talk about the miracles of Jesus. Try it. Just try it at your work. Try it with your family. Stop worrying about getting them converted and just stop. Stop worrying about getting them converted and just start talking about the miracles of Jesus. Every time you can bring it up in a conversation, but you know, that reminds me of that miracle Jesus did. And just start talking about the miracles of Jesus. Or you're going through a tough time and said, man, one of the things that's helping me is I remember that miracle Jesus. Man, if Jesus could do that, then maybe He can help me. Just start talking about the miracles. And what will happen? If people start listening to the miracles of Jesus, what will happen? They will start believing. And that's what you want them to do anyway, right? So let's start teaching them those things that will cause them to believe. Now, I've got to say this. this does not apply to most of you, but it does apply to a significant number of us who grew up going to church. We have sometimes gotten into situations where we spend all of our time fussing about differences in churches. My church believes this, your church believes that, so we're going to fuss. And basically what it did is it kept us from talking to those people at that church because they didn't respect God's Word like they're supposed to, so we just kind of marked them off. Of course, now they marked us off because we don't respect God's Word either, they thought. You don't... No. You don't read talking about the church causes people to believe. Talking about His miracles cause people to believe. You want somebody to start believing in Jesus? Start talking about His miracles. Try it. Don't tell me, oh, I don't think that'll work. Try it. Try it. Just start talking about the miracles. It causes people to believe. God said it. That settles it, right? All right, now how do you get somebody to repent? Where are you? In John? All right, I want you to turn a couple of books over. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Ooh, I wasn't supposed to tell you that. Romans 2. Can't remember the verse. Romans 2. What verse? Good students. Romans 2, verse 4. Tell me, what is it that causes somebody to repent? God's kindness is meant to lead people to repentance. Okay, now hang on a second. Those of us who grew up going to church got a steady dose of things that would cause us to repent. And most of it was hell, fire, and damnation, man. And they would scare you to the point that you... I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I'm just saying maybe we missed something. What is it that causes people to repent? The kindness of God. When people see how good God is, when they see how good God is, it will cause them to repent. Now, real quick, let's practice. Tell me one thing in the Bible... One thing in the Bible God did that was good. Tell me a good thing that God did. Tell me a good thing that Jesus did. Anybody? Okay. He died for us?
He took that man that was in the graveyard and was out of his mind and helped put him in his right mind.
Oh man, he took that demon-possessed man. That's one of my favorite stories. And gave him some hope and gave him some peace. What did he do for us that was kind?
He told me to be still.
The Lord does say, be still and know that I am God. He calmed the storm. You ever been in a storm? You'll understand how much that helps to calm a storm. Tell me something in the Bible where Jesus did something good.
He showed compassion to the leper.
Oh, the leper. He touched that leper. How about raising that widow's son? How about feeding those hungry people? Oh, he fed them. Hey, folks, do you remember?
That's right.
Those people were hungry. It was getting late in the day, and everybody, the disciples wanted to send them home. And Jesus said, no, let's feed them.
He forgave.
Oh, man. He forgave the woman that was caught in the act. He forgave the thief that had been yelling at him just a few minutes earlier. He forgave the disciple that cursed and swore and denied that he ever knew him.
Forgive the lady that was caught in adultery. He protected her when she was caught.
That's right. All of that's right. Do you talk about that at work? Do you talk about that at work? No. My church believes this. Your church believes that. My church believes this. My church better than your church. No. What if we stopped that foolishness and what if we just started talking about Jesus and the kind things that Jesus did? Alright? Now, but there's something else that causes people to repent. There's something else that causes people to repent. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, if you're in Romans, you've got to go through 1 Corinthians. Keep turning to the right. You go through 1 Corinthians and then you go to 2 Corinthians and you get to 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7. I I'm not giving you a verse. You got to find it. 2 Corinthians 7.
I just had a question because most of the time whenever you start talking with people about God, they don't start talking about the good things that God has done in their life. They start talking about, you know, why did God allow this to happen?
Excellent point. You're going to meet people that all they're going to want to talk about is all the things wrong God's done. Yes, sir. No, you don't argue. What you do is say, man, he's been good to me. I heard somebody in this room last week talk about prison, talk about addiction, talk about grief, the loss of a daughter, grief over a divorce. And then that person said, I have been so blessed. Can you talk about good things even though everybody else is going to talk about bad things? Yep. They think all the bad stuff. I understand. But he's been good to me. And the thing is, it'll be the same stuff happened to you happened to them. They see things bad and you see things good. The difference is, you change your mind. You'll change theirs. Talk about the good things of God. Look at 2 Corinthians 7. Where was it? What verse? Look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Now Josh already said it. When you've messed up and you see the consequences of your mess up, what do you start doing in a hurry?
Make a 911 prayer.
Yeah, it's old flare prayer. Boom, help me, Lord. I'm in trouble. You start changing your mind real quick when you've seen the consequences of your sin. So sometimes when you see how good God is, you repent. And sometimes you see how bad sin is. Now, real quick, tell me how bad sin is. Let's use the Bible first. How bad is sin? The whole world was flooded because of sin. What else does it cause? Sodom and Gomorrah burned with fire. Give me something else. Give me one more. Bible. How bad sin is. Adam and Eve were driven from the presence of God. They got to live, instead of getting to live in the garden, man, they had to live and die outside of that garden because of their sin. 40 years they had to stay in that wilderness because of the sin. Now hang on a second. So I can find plenty of places in the Bible. How about in your own life? Can you find anything bad about sin? It makes you want to die. What else does sin do for you?
It puts thoughts in your head that shouldn't be.
Put thoughts in your head that shouldn't be. What does sin do for you?
It's also very contagious.
It's contagious. What does sin do to you?
Pulls you away from God,
makes you ashamed, makes you hide from God. You could just go on and on. You want to talk about ruining a marriage? You want to talk about ruining a reputation? What about destroying your children? I mean, there's all kinds of things sin does. Sometimes the discussion... Now, sometimes we don't want to talk about our stuff because, well, you know, I want them to think I'm a good person. The truth is, being honest about this, how sin affected us may be the thing that gets them to open up their hearts about what Jesus could do for them. So I show people how good God is and I show people how bad sin is. What are they liable to do? Repent. Well, and I hear this all the time. Well, they already, all of my friends already know all that stuff.
Apparently not.
And they may know more Bible than you ever thought about knowing. Okay. And if they don't listen, you can't make them listen. But can you do what Jesus said do? Can you invite people to become what you are? To believe in Jesus and to repent? Now, we're going to tie a knot here and then we'll come back to it. Those of us who grew up going to church will understand what I'm talking about. I went to a school where they were teaching me all kinds of Bible and they were teaching me how to preach the Bible. And I can remember reading in Scripture like in that Acts 2. And it happens again in Acts 8. Happens again in Acts 16. Happens again in Acts 22. I mean, it happens several times in Scripture that while somebody's talking about Jesus, somebody interrupts them and says, hey, I want to be baptized. And it's like, ooh, how did that happen? And I can remember as a student learning to preach that it never happened to me. I never saw it happen in church at all. I never heard anybody ever do that. And so I began to wonder, what is happening there? And you know why it never happened? Is I wasn't teaching the things that cause people to believe. I wasn't teaching the things that cause people to repent. I was teaching things that caused people to know what they were supposed to do, but I wasn't teaching them things that would cause them to do it. Does that make sense at all? But we've done that. We've run up to people and says, "You need to be baptized." What does that mean? And why? And leave me alone. What if we stopped trying to convince people of what they had to do and let's start teaching people those things that would cause them to do what they have to do? I'm not saying we change what the Bible teaches. No, we're just going by what the Bible teaches. Let's just teach them those things so they can do what Jesus commands. And how do you do that? Talk about the miracles of Jesus and watch them have faith. Talk about them how good God is and how bad sin is. And then when somebody has a question about, what do I do about this? Let's stop giving them some TV preacher, radio preacher answer about put your hand on the TV or put the liver hand on your liver and listen to it quiver. No. Stop that foolishness. Let's get right back to the Bible. Let's get right back to what Jesus says. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be saved? Then what do you do to be saved? Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." Mark 16 said it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Let's stop making up stuff and let's just start telling people what Jesus said. I want my sins forgiven. What should I do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that. Acts 2:38. I want a new life. I'm tired of this mess I've made of my life. Then you die to sin and you be buried with Jesus in baptism so you can be raised with Jesus to walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. Let's stop making up stuff and let's just tell people what Jesus said. Suggestion? Why don't we teach them those things that will cause them to believe in Jesus, cause them to repent toward Jesus, so that when they're ready, they'll do whatever Jesus wants them to do. Make sense? If I'll do that, I'll bear fruit. If I'll do that, I'll bear fruit. Now for some of you, that means you'll be the one that does the teaching. But for others of you, you'll be the ones that do the bringing. Some of you will do the planting. Some will do the watering. We talked about that last week, remember? Some of you will be the one that invites the person. Some of you will be the one that welcomes the person. Somebody will be the person that teaches the person. Somebody will be the person that reassures and encourages the person. Somebody will be the one that makes sure the baptistry's there. It has a nice little stand around it, so it'll stand up. And somebody will be the person who cleans it out. And somebody will be the person that stands there and takes care of that person while they're being baptized. You want to bear fruit? You want people to become what you are? Then let's do this right here. Let's be what Jesus wants us to be. And let's do what Jesus wants us to do.